Are you paying your people what you need to in order to keep them? On today's show, we're going to talk about comp plans and if you are taking care of your people the way you need to in order to make sure you keep them long term. All on today's show. Salon owners are some of the most amazing people on planet Earth. The only problem is sometimes their hearts are so big and they give so much of themselves to their staff and guests that it creates unintended consequences. Our goal is to change the industry by elevating the way the rest of the world sees salons, spas, and barbershops and give it the credibility that it truly deserves. This is the Salon Owner Evo Revo Show. Welcome to the Evolution Revolution podcast, the place for profitable, for high energy, motivated, driven, and some may dare to even say visionary salon owners to come and find out how to become more profitable, work less hours and things that they hate, and have more time to do things they want. Welcome to the show today. What's up, Doug? Good to have you on today.
How's it going?
Dude, glad to have you on, man. Excited to have you today and to be on. You know, we were just talking about this, about, you know, compensating people and how do you pay. And by the way, if you've ever wondered if you're paying people correctly, would you do me a favor and type in the chat and just say, let's just type in the word pay. I want to make sure that this podcast and audio and video and all that stuff's going out right. So do me a favor and just say pay. If you've ever thought about, am I paying people correctly? Because that's really what we're going to talk about today. We noticed online, some people were talking about this, and this is a hot topic right now, is how are you paying people? And Doug, you know, with the current state of everything that people are dealing with during this pandemic, and, you know, having some salons still closed, some are still open, some are open, some are closed, at least California is still closed, right? People are wondering, like, am I doing what I need to do to really keep my staff? And one of the places that most people look is, you know, am I paying people correctly? And I want specific question I want to answer today. I don't want to just mention it on here, but that is the topic today. Yeah, Doug?
Yeah. So I think, you know, being clear on, and it is a, it's a pay, a compensation, and because we just get hung up on the compensation part, you can make a mistake. So yeah. I think that's to get the whole picture, because otherwise you can, I think it was Joan that put the question in. You can end up going down a rabbit trail that never ends if you're only doing one part of this equation. It's just one of those things. I think sometimes we get too focused on how are we taking care of our clients and that, and not really focusing on how we're taking care of our team in a holistic way. Part of that is the pay. Make sure we've got that part right, but there's a few other elements that are as important, and some maybe even more important, if you're going to be able to keep staff long term, so which I think is the goal.
Yeah, let's get this question, because I want to put her actual question out here, because I think you nailed it when we talked about this question earlier about just kind of the way the question's even asked told you a lot about it, right? So let's go from this. Joan, this is for you, by the way. I'll send you the link if you're not on with us live, but if you are on live, say hey. Joan said, hi, I'm a commissioned salon owner with 6 stylists with me, ranging from 5 to 8 years each, with one new girl. Another one who returned after 10 years. I also have a stylist who's at 55% of services, 4 at 50% of labor, and color commission at 47. I offer full paid education classes, paid hair shows 2 per year, including travel, lodging, and dining, right, which may not be applicable during a pandemic, weekly simple plan contributions, 1 week paid vacation after 5 years of employment, Christmas bonuses and gifts, special event parties, birthdays for employment anniversaries, meeting incentives, gift cards, special occasions, treats, social treats. I supply all the products, tools, and the obvious employment tax on each workers' comp, liability on employment tax. So here's my question. I am doing my part to show my appreciation and respect for each employee. She's saying, am I doing my part? I value them both professionally and personally, and I hope to give them a good living. I'm moving towards growth and want to change to rise above the current state of the world. Good idea. I do not want to lose any stylists in that process. I'll be grateful for any feedback and constructive criticism you offer me. Thanks in advance. So, you know, Doug, you mentioned the way in which she asked the question told you a lot. Tell me more about that.
I mean, and Joan, take this the best way possible.
yeah, but, it's all said with love, Joan.
Just well, because I mean, sometimes you need somebody to look at something from a different area. I mean, that's one of the things we do with our, you know, our consulting group and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's very valuable to have someone look at things from an outside perspective. So the thing that hit me on that was that she's going through the process of this laundry list of things. And it's like, in my opinion, she's trying to bribe her people into staying with her. And she's asking, do I need to bribe them more?
And right. I think, am I bribing them enough, or do I need to bribe them more? Right.
That's right. And I think that's just the context that she's coming from. I've got to give them more to convince them to stay here. And I think, yes, you need to compensate people well. Yes, people need to have an amazing career financially with you, but they also need to have an amazing career with you mentally also in a social setting. So I think the element, because I think if you're chasing the bribing game, it's never enough. You know, it's always more, because once you've done this or once you've done that, I mean, she even mentioned a simple plan, which is a retirement plan that she's contributing to with her staff. But once that's done, it's like, they kind of forget about it. It's kind of like, it's there, it's nice, da, 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 but
yeah,
what have you given me lately?
It's funny when you think about perks. I learned this a long time ago, Doug. Is it like you add a perk and like that perk is like no longer a big deal, like within the first 6 months of having it, right? Yeah, they're the like, life, it's like, the yeah, that's cool. I'm glad I have it, but
the shelf life on those are not. I mean, it's nice to have them, but I think from the other side of it, I believe that culturally is where you really solidify people staying with you long term. One of the things that we're a huge proponent of is code of honor. And actually, in our consulting company, we're actually reviewing our code of honor this afternoon. Yeah, because I think it is something that needs to be revisited on especially when some of the team's grown and you've changed and you've evolved, then your code needs to evolve. But I think it's that cultural thing. That's where people get that you start to meet some emotional needs, because like I said, there's financial needs, which is super important. I mean, we got to eat, we got to have a place to live, right, and we need to have a future that we look forward to. But the emotional side of that too is, you know, people need to feel valued, they need to feel comfortable, they need to feel they're part of a team, they need to know that, you know, each other's got their back. So culturally, what I would say, I would love to know if Joan has the same type of laundry list on what they do culturally, you know, what's their, you know, do they have a code of honor? Do they have a mission that everybody on the team believes in? Because if we all can drive as a mission, because, you know, we're all people on any team, everyone's different. And it's to respect the differences that are there and how do we work together as a team to move. I was listening to a book the other day and it was talking about being in battle and how whenever the bullets are flying and stuff and you're out there, that it doesn't matter where somebody came from, what your background was, you know, all these things kind of go away when you're in the heat of the battle, because your thing is to keep each other safe and make it through whatever this skirmish or this attack is that's going on. Yeah, because they're very clear about their mission. It's all the other garbage goes away. And, you know, so sometimes people are on a team, but that's why, like, the Marines have a great, you know, mission statement. They have great code for what they stand for. And it kind of gets... But certain things, because there's totally different elements. I mean, people, you know, you think about going to battle with somebody. There's people from all over the world, from all over different backgrounds, different education levels. But you begin to see that person as a human being and you're fighting for the same cause. That brings the commonality. That makes, to my opinion, a strong team. That's where I think, you know, if you get your team to start to see that we're in this together, and there, you know, you're dealing with the public. Bullets are going to fly. I mean, I'm just saying.
Right. It's going to happen. Doug, one of the things I think happens is a lot of people, I read a study, I can't remember the exact number on what percent, but it was something like only 10% of people ever leave a job or a position because of compensation. The rest of them leave for other problems. And usually when people leave an organization, it's because they run out of future with the organization. They see their future with the company not being, to your point, culturally the fit that they're in. And by all means, can I just say, like, just like Doug said, we're doing our code of honor today, and we are by no means perfect, myself completely included in that, is that there are so many different things that we deserve to work on as we grow as an organization, as do you, right? Is how do you constantly evolve with your culture? How do you constantly be something better? Because if people leave because they can't see a vision of their future that involves you, It's like, you know, our vision of the future for where we want to go as a company, where Doug and I want to take the High Performance Salon Academy with what we're looking to do. Anybody who becomes aligned with that, whether it's, you know, new people who started a week ago or people who've started, you know, years ago with us, they've got to say, look, I can see the advantage in the direction of my life being in parallel to what this is indefinitely or for as long as possible. And what happens, like I said, is people run out of future is they start to see a rift between where you're going and where they're going, and you start to grow apart. So that works inside the salon very simply is to say, well, look, I see myself doing hair for the rest of my life. So here's how I will continue to move forward and go and grow and do all these other great things. But is that in line with the vision of the salon owner, right? If you're a stylist, you're going, well, if I'm a stylist and I work in Doug's salon, and I go, well, you know, Doug wants to go this direction, but I don't want to go this direction. We got to align our values. We got to align our mission. We got to align and make sure that we're on the same page. Because look, a lot of times people tell me their culture is amazing because they never argue and they never fight. This is just my thought. Doug, you can let me know if this is the case. I actually think it's healthy for you to argue and have disagreements, provided they're productive.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And like, yeah. What I mean is like, you know, dude, you and I have been partners for a long time and we don't have this, like, every time we get together, it's always a perfect conversation because we're two very damn different people. And that's what makes the company good.
Yeah. I mean, so it's like the thing of steel sharpening steel.
Yeah.
But there again, you got to have that in the right context. You got to know that it's okay to push and be pushed. And you know, like you and I, we've evolved in our relationship totally. And we can have some very hard, you know, conversations. And we both know our intention in it. It's like, how do we come to the best outcome here? I just like one thing that we talk about all the time. It's super important that you have a leadership team at your salon. So what does that look like? And the way I know how to do it the best is say that it's like an advisory board. It's like our leadership team with our salon group, very different personalities, very strong personalities. But we set the context up there where they feel comfortable that we can have discussions, but we see that we know what the bigger picture is and we know how to move it that way. And you can have the conversation and it's safe. Because what happens when those things aren't clear, conversations become unsafe. So then I don't want to have the conversation, or I add too much to it and I overstate things. And then I overstate, then cause somebody else to overstate. And then we get in this thing, we're both overstating, you know, that's where you get into trouble. But that's where sometimes you just have to have that right context, because that thing of being able to go to work and feel safe is as important as what's in their paycheck.
Yeah.
Now, you notice I said as important, not more important.
Yeah. And by the way, we're going to give you some more tips on this in just a second. We're including, how do you set up a code of honor? What do you do? Because that's on our hot list today. And we're going to give you a couple other compensation strategies. Joan, I hope you get that we're answering your question, that it's not just about the compensation. It's really about the culture. And we're going to talk more about how to super culture in 45 seconds. So stick around for this and do me a favor. If you're learning a lot, do me a favor and type in learning. Stick around 45 seconds. We'll be right back. Speaking of the accelerator program that we now have, a brand new program. What you just saw is our new High Performance Salon Academy accelerator program. And if you are interested in picking up the accelerator program and joining us just as a part of being on the podcast today, all you have to do is do me a favor and type in the number 3030, and we will send you a 30-day free trial of our all-new High Performance Salon Academy Accelerator Program, which is a $99 value. Happy to hook you up with a promo code, give you your first 30 days free if you've not had a free 30-day set yet. So do me a favor and just type in the number 30 in the podcast, and then we will send you the link to get access to that and give you it free just for hanging out with us on the podcast. Or if you're listening to this podcast later and you're like, where do I type in, Jason? Just send us a message and say 30-day free in the message, and we'll make sure that we hook you up, okay? Doug, we were talking about this with culture, and we were talking about, Joanne's question here, or Joan's question. Joanne, we got it. We're in here. Sorry for messing that up for you, but I do really like your question here, is making sure that you're compensating people correctly. Because I want to talk about comp today, Doug, too, because like you said, that's a part of it. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, it's maybe half, right? Like half is compensation and making sure the money's right. The other half is culture. So compensation and culture are huge things here. Code of honor, big thing. Quick thing, if you haven't read the book, there's a book out by a guy named Blair Singer, who's been a mentor and friend of Doug and I for years. He wrote a book called Team Code of Honor. Literally talks about, just like what Doug was saying, about how do you go through like the military and set up a code that your team plays by. You know, and we, our code of honor is right back over there. Doug, I know you've got your code for your salon over there, but it's like never abandon a teammate in need. It's rules like be on time by being early. It identifies the culture. So the quick version of how to set up a code of honor is you get your team to go through the values of each individual. You say, okay, what are your top five most important values? You have everybody say those. And then you get the team to define what do those values mean to each member of the team. So they state them out loud. And then once you do that, you start turning those values into rules that you can play by. Now, if you already have a code and you're revisiting like us, you kind of take your existing code and say, are there things that are working on this list that we use? Or are there things that are not working on this list that we use? And you can use an example. There's an example code of honor inside that book, and you can get it that way. But the other thing that's really important is this is something that's created by the team and the owners, not by the owners for the team. This is a really, really, really important distinction, right? Is that most people, and Doug, I'll never forget, I tell the story all the time, is the very first time I set up a code of honor, I read the book, my boss and I helped to set up a code of honor for the team. We left the meeting, and my old boss, this is like 15 years ago, my old boss came in and he goes, oh, I'm so glad we put rules in place for the team to follow. And I was like, what do you mean for the team to follow? And he's like, well, we're management. We don't have, like, we're the owners and managers. We don't have to follow that. And I was like, oh God, you missed the whole point. You missed the whole point of the code of honor is it's for team and for leadership and for everybody. It's like, we are united as a team to follow those rules to help each other, support each other.
Yeah. When you create that code, I mean, basically if we could all operate this way, it'd be an amazing place to work.
Yes.
That's the idea. But we created it.
It's aspirational, right?
Right.
It's not like
we're all perfect. Right. And none of us are perfect, and we're going to have to help each other stay there. But that's why you got to, one of the things that we say have to be in there is you got to be willing to call it and be willing to be called.
Super.
But both of those things have to happen with grace. Pardon my French, but it doesn't mean you get to put your bitch hat on and beat people over the head with the code. you know, it's a place of grace. Say, look, you know, and I'm not perfect. Someone's going to have to reach out and say, hey, Doug, man, you're slipping in this area. How can I help you get back up here? And if you're the one being asked to be helped back up, then you put your hand up and you accept it with grace. Because if we all can help each other stay in that place, then we have that cultural part along with the financial part. The financial part is important. I think to frame on the financial for just a second,
is
the purpose of a level system is to show a career path for the people working for you. That is the number one reason for having that in place. So they see a clear defined path for how they can get the income that they need to get, and how quickly they get there would be how quickly they move through that chart. Inside our academy that we do, you know, we've got, you know, the whole process of how do I know where to start that? How do I know where it needs to be? What does it need to look like? But with the purpose of that, it is for the staff member to be able to see what their future looks like. So have a clear roadmap and know where their income and know that they had that opportunity. And then, like we said, the other part is you create the environment for that to all work and them to feel good. And you get to the point once your team matures, you know, you got people that will, you know, go to the line. You know, something happens personally in somebody's life, all these people show up. And there's a human need that as a business owner, we need to provide for the people that work for us. Because at the end of the day, you're going to end up spending more time with the people you're working with than you probably are your family. Mm-hmm. So it's important that it adds that aspect to it.
Totally. Yep. And what I want to say, just a couple other things on compensation, because I think we're not going super deep down that. Obviously, in the academy, and we have whole hour-long trainings on compensation that are in our High Performance Salon Academy. But one of the things that we talk about is we are a huge fan of Mike McCallowitz's book Profit First. Mm-hmm. We had him out at our last destination training. He's an incredible human being, really amazing dude, and he teaches people how to make sure that you set your business to profit first, like we talked about as being a profitable salon. How do we set it so that you profit first and then start backing out the expenses of the business and how you want to compensate your team? So when we help you build your compensation structure, we want to make sure it maximizes profit. If you want to have more profit in your business, do me a favor and comment with the word profit, right? Is that once that compensation structure is in place so that the salon owner has a profit built into the business, because only 7% of salon owners have it set up like that, if that's built into the business, then you back out the rest of it, and then you kind of get your window to play from. So your compensation, you know, Doug, could be anywhere from 47% up to maybe 50 or even 55% in some cases. But the only way you can know if you can afford to pay between 50 and 55 or whatever the comp structure, 47 and 55, whatever your comp structure is, if you already understand how you profit as a business, where you're at, what your other expenses are, what it takes to break even. Like, you need to know that information first. Then you can decide a comp structure. What my experience has been, Doug, is when I watch salon owners that set this up, they just go, well, I just use the comp structure from the last salon, not having any clue if that's helpful, if it's possible. They were in a salon in New York, now they're in a salon in Miami. It's like, or whether they're in, you know, Timbuktu or, you know, whatever. Wherever they are, they need to take a look at their business and set up a comp structure that fits. It should never be a one-size-fits-all structure that says, hey, Doug, send me your comp structure in California versus in Pensacola, Florida. I'll use the same comp structure, because real estate just a tad different here in California than over in Pensacola, right?
Right. I mean, that's the thing. And looking and seeing, right, in Texas. So you got to look and see how that all fits together, because that does say, when can I add more benefits? When can I do these things? Because if you're doing those things and it's damaging your profit, then it's going to damage you long term, because you're not going to feel like that you're getting compensated for what you're doing. Right. And ultimately, hopefully, a lot of your staff is going to want to buy into your company. If there's no profit there, then that's a little tough.
Yeah.
Why would they want to buy into that? So creating, understanding that aspect of creating the problem, what can I afford to do? And then instituting things like, you know, we worked with Salon Scale and came up with some creative ways to really add to people's bottom line. We took what they were doing and put our twist on it that really made the difference for a lot of people working with us, really to increase their profit significantly. So now they've got more choices in how they grow their team, how they, because think about this, it's about growing. The more the pie's bigger, then right. And you got the profit set in, then the money goes up. It's not about always increasing. Yeah, increasing.
How do we grow the pie, not try and take more of a slice, right? And I think that's it. It's like, we're not fighting over one tiny pie. We just, how do we grow the pie and everybody's slices get bigger? I think, you know, the last piece I just want to throw out here as we're talking about this, and by the way, if this has been helpful today, do me a favor and comment helpful in the comments. But I think that, you know, what we're really talking about here is, yes, compensation is important, and that's a big piece of it. But again, people rarely leave because they're not compensated right. They usually leave because of some other hiccup, challenge, and issue inside the company. It's either a cultural fit, it's a personality mismatch. There's all kinds of things that can be solved and sorted to figure that stuff out. And you either have a code of honor that's a solid foundation that holds the whole thing together, because when it gets hot, right? So when it gets hot, the tendency is the team will blow apart. And that's why I love your analogy earlier, Doug. I don't know if you were reading Jason Redman's book, you know, The Trident or any of those other things, but he talks about some of those things, like in the heat of battle, like what do you do to hold yourself together when everything is, you know, when everything's hitting the fan and people are on freak out mode? Because that happens in business. When you get a pandemic, freak out mode. When, you know, there's a pipe burst, the air conditioner goes out, the business next to you closes and you don't have the foot traffic that you had, whatever it is, that panic move stresses and puts pressure on the company to do something different. And if you don't have a solid foundation, then all of a sudden people are out. So rather than, and I really want to go back to this question, we started the whole thing for Joanne here. Rather than saying, just raise your compensation, give them more vacation days, you probably need to add some more things like that. That's really not the answer. It sounds like you've got a really pretty clear comp structure, actually. Like, could there be some tweaks? Of course. But we also are a fan of not going back and changing your comp structure on your team once it's been set up and established. Like, that's a whole nother conversation, right? That's another podcast for another time. But what we will say is, it's more that you need to add in the cultural elements and the fits and the things that will help super glue your culture together. That literally is the binding agent that allows your team to be impactful. And if you feel like your team's getting stretched, and by the way, we've had a doubling of team in the last 6 months, which is why we're sitting down tomorrow, and no better time than today, or sorry, not tomorrow, today. Okay. We're sitting down today to do our code of honor as a team because we've grown and the glue feels weak. Right? Like, it just feels weak. Like, we're not as tight as we need to be. So let's get that cleaned up. Let's move it forward. And let's get the team to rocket you forward, because you want your team to be tight. And the tightness of the team comes from the culture. Doug, anything you want to say before you wrap, man?
I just think that's important. It is easy to focus on, am I comping them enough? And we forget about the cultural part. Because like I said, security, and that feeling of security is way up there. I mean, it and, you know, your financial security, your emotional security, those things are way at the top of why people choose to stay somewhere.
Yeah.
So it's super important that you do both sides of that equation.
Totally. So you guys, if you like this podcast, I'd really like to invite you to share it anywhere that you can, anywhere that you know that there's salon owners. Maybe you connect with some people or you want to talk to other salon owners, you can forward it to them privately. I'm totally good. We just hope that this podcast is done in a way that is helpful, supportive to your growth, gives you some new ideas, keeps it fresh. Jeff on here, if you can put that up on the screen for me, it says, great podcast as usual, guys. You two are awesome. Thanks for the kudos on that, Jeff. Super appreciate you, man. Thanks for being on with us today. Jeff's great, dude. Jeff and Melinda. Super good to have you guys on with us on the show today, and everybody else who joined us live. It was really fantastic having you. Thank you so much. And by the way, if you did like today's podcast, don't forget to give us a rating. The more ratings we get as our show, the more people potentially see it, just like yourself. So hopefully you enjoyed today. Thank you so much for being here. Great job, Doug. Appreciate you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, guys. Bye. Take care. Thanks for listening to the Evo Revo podcast. If you liked today's episode, please subscribe, leave us a review, and you can always get more information, including show notes and the video episodes, at evorevopodcast.com.